well. Next case for argument is Chikriva versus Gonzalez. Mr. Eng.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. My name is Ronald Ng, and I represent the petitioner, Yana Chikriva. Ms. Chikriva is a national of the former Soviet Union Republic of Kazakhstan in Central Asia, whose application for asylum was denied. She petitions this court to reverse the Board of Immigration Appeals and remand her case. I would like to begin with a short summary of the facts before moving on. The petitioner's asylum application was based on threats and violent attacks against herself and her family by ethnic Kazakh nationalists. These individuals claimed to be affiliated with the leaders of the Azat Party, an extremist organization formed after Kazakhstan gained its independence from the Soviet Union. The principal objective of this organization is a Kazakhstan for Kazakhs only. The nationalists were incensed by the efforts of the petitioner's father, Valery, a non-Kazakh, in unsuccessfully bringing a criminal complaint against them for beating him in an attack which the immigration judge found to have been an expression of nationalistic rage. The case went nowhere as police failed to take meaningful action. Further abuse and mistreatment then followed and intensified, forcing the family to leave. The sole issue on judicial review in this case is whether the Board of Immigration Appeals correctly found the harm not to be persecution. In its decision dismissing the petitioner's father's administrative appeals, which the BIA incorporated by reference in this decision, the BIA had found that the testimony and the documentary evidence did not show that the Kazakhstan government was unwilling or able to protect the petitioner and her family, and as a result, it was not persecution. We disagree with the BIA's ruling. The BIA's ruling is not supported by substantial evidence in the record, or by a reasoned or complete analysis of this case. I would like to make three main points. First, the Board of Immigration Appeals failed to consider and disregarded the historical context of ethnic relations in Kazakhstan.
But how long has she been in the United States?
She has been in the United States since September 1998.
That's almost 7 years. So how likely is it that this gang is still, you know, interested in her and will bother her if she returns?
We do not know for certain whether the Kazakh nationalists who previously sought to harm them would still be interested in harming them almost 7 years later. However, respondent who establishes past persecution, as the petitioner in this case has, is entitled to a rebuttable presumption of future persecution, and it is the burden of the government to prove by a preponderance of evidence that there is no reasonable possibility of harm if the asylum applicant were to now be returned. Moving on to my argument on the first point. As this court acknowledged in Grushenkov versus Ashcroft, there is a strong animosity, a great enmity between ethnic Kazakhs and other ethnic groups in Kazakhstan. Kazakhs have a hostility toward Russians and Ukrainians who came into their country in large numbers, causing them to become a minority and a secondary class in their own country. This animosity is reflected in strongly nationalistic groups, such as the Azad Party, which the documentary evidence in this case indicates to be one of the basic types of political organizations in Kazakhstan. is also reflected in the nationalistic policies of the government, favoring ethnic Kazakhs, seeking to create an ethnic Kazakh state. And finally, the animosity toward non-Kazakhs is reflected in the facts of this case. No reasonable fact finder looking at the facts of this case could have reached the same conclusion as the Board of Immigration Appeals did and determined that the facts showed the Kazakhstan government to be willing and able to protect non-Kazakhs who are in danger, such as the petitioner in this case. The facts of this case and the testimony that was provided, testimony which the immigration judge found to be fully credible, showed a complete lack of protection, a lack of effective action being taken by police against the nationalists to prevent further harm against the petitioner and her family. The important fact is not that her father was allowed to file a criminal complaint, which was accepted only with reluctance. The important fact is not that two individuals were briefly detained and later released. We believe that the relevant fact is that no one was charged or prosecuted in this case.
Well, he asked them not to, didn't he?
Your Honor is correct. The petitioner's father withdrew the complaint in the middle of October after a series of attacks by ethnic Kazakhs threatening to harm him and his family if he did not withdraw the complaint and leave Kazakhstan. However, the record in this case doesn't support the BIA's statement in the decision in the father's case that the investigation was still ongoing at the time that it was withdrawn. The facts are quite clear if the testimony is to be believed, and the testimony was believed in this case. The facts are quite clear that the case, the investigation in the case had already been effectively discontinued well before the actual complaint was withdrawn in October 15th, or around that time. Our interpretation of the withdrawal of the complaint was that it was merely another means for the nationalists to prove to the petitioner and her family that Kazakhstan was the country of the Kazakhs and that non-Kazakhs don't have the same legal rights and protections. So it's merely a final indignity to underscore the fact that what he had done in defiance of them was futile and would be met with harsh retribution. Moving on to returning to my presentation, I would believe that the facts of this case. I noticed that I'm moving into my time reserved for rebuttal. I'll discontinue.
Okay. Let's stop now. Okay. Thank you, Mr. A. Mr. Coate.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the Court. The Court's inquiry here today is whether or not there is substantial evidence for the findings made by the agency below, not whether or not the record could compel some other finding here. And clearly, the Board's determination that Ms. Tukriva failed to establish eligibility for asylum is supported by substantial evidence. We have two basic determinations here made by the immigration judge below. One was that there was no past persecution. The other was that Ms. Tukriva did not have a well-founded fear of persecution. The judge's no past persecution ruling was based primarily on the fact that this Azat Party is not a group that the government is unable or unwilling to control. In fact, there's no indication on the record that this is any sort of a ruling party, that this party exercises any substantial influence over politics in Kazakhstan. It is exactly what petitioner testifies it to be, an ultra-nationalist organization run by thugs. In fact, the opinion by the Canadian Asylum Board, who rejected Tukriva's asylum claim in Canada, also notes that the Azat party only controls 3 seats in parliament in that country. So there's really no indication here that this is a party that exercises any great influence over politics in Kazakhstan. Likewise, regarding petitioner's claim that the police were unwilling to follow up on his case, he really, as Your Honor pointed out, never gave them an opportunity. He did withdraw. He did withdraw under some sort of duress, but he never allowed the police to continue their investigation and properly charge individuals in the case. Likewise, that was the only incident that he reported to the police. He never reported the alleged assault or verbal abuse that Mr. Kriva was sustained, or any of the subsequent incidents that were occurred against him, the kidnapping and the vandalism of his car and his home invasion. So to say that, it's sort of disingenuous now to say that the police are unable or unwilling to do anything when he didn't give them an opportunity to follow up. And as this court noted in its past decisions in Bucher, whether or not something falls into discrimination or persecution is really something best left to the agency below, and that's really what we're looking at here. There may be discrimination here against non-Kazakhs, but the fact of the matter is almost 50% of the country is non-Kazakh. 30 to 36% of the country are ethnic Slavs. And also, based on Mr. Chakriv's own testimony, he was a government worker for 15 years. He was a manager on a shift, and according to his own words, he received a very good salary. So to say now that he is being discriminated against by the government or by a group the government is unable or willing to control is just not supported by the record. With regard to the well-founded persecution claim, as Your Honor noticed, they've been out of the country for 6 years. The criminal complaint has been dropped. That was the motive behind these attacks, was getting Mr. Chakriv to drop the criminal complaint. The complaint has been dropped. There's no indication in the record that Mr. Kriva is any person of great standing in the country, that they'd be still looking for her after all this time has passed. While Mr. Kriva's family and herself may have experienced some unfortunate acts of discrimination in Kazakhstan, the government contends and respectfully submits that we do not have evidence here of past persecution or a well-founded fear of persecution. And the agency decision below should be affirmed and the petition should be denied.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Koh. Mr. Ang, how much time does he have? 2 minutes? Do you have anything further?
To address opposing counsel's issue of the non-reporting of the subsequent attacks, there is no rule requiring that an asylum applicant report each and every incident of harm to the authorities, especially when, as the circumstances in this case indicate, that it would have been a futile exercise and would most likely have further endangered his family. Since it was the filing of the complaint in the first attack, his defiance of the nationalists drew that action, which caused his family to become marked for further harm. And when his experiences with police clearly showed that police were not inclined to protect him, it would merely have been a useless exercise to have required the reporting of the other attacks too. And to move on to counsel's point on the significance of the dropping of the criminal charges. Dropping of the criminal charges under the facts of this case do not remove the possibility of harm. It was the filing of the charges which is the reason that the nationalists want to harm this family. They wanted to make an example of them to other non-Kazakhs who might oppose them in the future. They were targeted because they resisted their extremist views of Kazakhstan for Kazakhs only. Thank you, John.
Thank you. And Mr. Pope. Next case for argument is